This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Today we continue with our series called Doing Business with God. In this series, Pastor Rick helps you understand why you work, what you should be working for, and how God can use you in your workplace. In just a few moments, we're going to tell you how you can get the complete audio for this series. You can find out more by going to PastorRick.com or by texting the word DAILY to 800-600-5004 while you listen to today's teaching. That's PastorRick.com with two R's in the middle, or you can text the word DAILY to 1-800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with part two of a message called Standing Out at Work.
God had Joseph exactly where he wanted him. It just so happened that Pharaoh had two of his court cabinet, his cupbearer and his baker, had offended Pharaoh at some party. And so he had his baker and his cupbearer thrown into prison along with Joseph. While they're in prison, they both have dreams. And Joseph goes, well, you know what? I'm not a dream interpreter, but God can tell you the meaning of that. And so I'll pray and ask God. And so God tells Joseph the meaning of these two dreams. He shares it with the cupbearer and the baker. And the bottom line is that the cupbearer gets restored to power. The baker is killed. And Joseph says, by the way, when you get back into the palace, you might put in a good word for me. Well, the guy promptly forgets Joseph, and doesn't even. So Joseph is languishing longer and longer and longer in prison. Then a little while later, Pharaoh has some dreams, and they're very, very disturbing. And when he has these dreams, he's going, I wonder if anybody could tell me the meaning of these dreams. And all of a sudden, the cupbearer goes, oh, I know a guy who could do that. I forgot to tell you about him, boss. And the guy says, well, go get him. He says, well, actually, he's not Egyptian. He's Hebrew. He's Jewish. Well, where is he? He's in prison. Well, get him out of prison and bring him here. So they get Joseph out of prison. They have him go shave. They have him take a bath. They have him put on clean clothes. He comes in, and he correctly interprets Pharaoh's dreams. He says, the two dreams you've had are this. You're going to have a good economy for 7 years. And he says, things are really going to go great, and you're going to have abundance, there's going to be fruitfulness. But he said, after that, you're going to have 7 bad years where it's going to be recession. It's going to be famine. It's going to be starvation. It's going to be really bad. And Pharaoh goes, well, what do you think I ought to do? He goes, well, you ought to go out and find the smartest man you can find and put him in charge of a plan to have people save 20% of the profits every year during the 7 good years and put them away and store all the wheat, store all the grain, so that then when the famine comes, you don't lose your kingdom and you make it through a tough time. Pharaoh goes, you're the smartest guy I know. And he promotes him. And he issues a decree and he says, everyone is to follow anything Joseph says from now on. I put him in charge of the entire nation of Egypt. He's now in charge. The only person above him is me. But every decision he makes, you are to follow. And so wherever Joseph goes, they all bow down to him. He's now the most powerful man on planet Earth. He's gone from prisoner to president. That's quite a promotion. What happened in all that time? How in the world did that happen? Well, from his life, we learn the 6 traits that get you promoted. The 6, and these, by the way, even today, they still work. They're the 6 most in-demand traits that employers look for when they're looking for somebody to hire. Let's look at them. By the way, these traits are not in order of importance, okay? They are in order of the story. So they're chronological. It's not like the first one's the most important. It's just the one that comes up first. So they're all important. Number one, the first trait that Joseph shows is audacity. Audacity. And if you want to make it in a career, you have to show audacity. You have to show this character quality that Joseph develops and shows in his life. He has a big dream. Now, in each of these qualities, I've written a definition for you there on your outline. So you might want to fill this in. What is audacity? Audacity is the courage to think big. It's the courage to think big, to show initiative, and to take risks for a dream while facing the possibility of failure. That is audacity. And it's the first trait we see in Joseph's life. The courage to think big, to show initiative, and to take risks for a dream while facing the possibility of failure. Now, we have an example of this in Genesis chapter 37. The Bible starts off telling us this about Joseph. Joseph had a dream. Circle that. Joseph had a dream. Now, this dream is so big, so incredible, so audacious, nobody in the world believes him. He says, I had this dream that one day I'm going to be the most powerful leader in the world. And not only am I going to be the most powerful leader in the world, all my brothers are going to bow down to me. He's going, and all the brothers going, oh, yeah, you and your mama. Okay. And even my dad's going to bow down to me. I'm going to become the most powerful leader in the world. Now, the truth was it the truth? Yes. Was the dream from God? Yes. Did it happen? Yes. Was it fulfilled? Yes. Was Joseph stupid in telling his brothers? Yes. Now, let me give you a little advice here. If you're an entrepreneur, not every dream should be shared with everybody. When God gives you a dream, you only share it. Listen, very important. You only share it with people who can help you get there. You don't go tell everybody. A lot of times you get a great idea and you want to go tell everybody in your family. Your family's going to say, and who do you think you are? See, the question is not who do you think you are, it's who do you think God is. And a lot of people don't understand that. When I started Saddleback Church and I stood up at the first service and I announced that one day this church, I said, this is a church one day we'll have 20,000 people and we're going to have at least 50 acres of land. Was that dream from God? Yes. Was it true? Yes. Was it fulfilled? Yes. Was it dumb of me to share it with everybody that first? Yes. Because immediately all kinds of critics, who's this kid think he is? He's a 25-year-old kid. Has he got any money? No. You got any land? No. Got any members? No. What's he got? A dream. You don't share your dream with everybody. Does that make sense? You only share it with those who can actually help you get it there. You don't advertise there. But Joseph has an audacious dream. And what was the result of his family? It says, when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. It just made him more mad. And when he told his father, as he had had his brothers, his father rebuked him. Even his dad didn't believe him because it was so audacious. And Jacob said, what is this dream of yours? What is this dream of yours? Sometimes you're going to have to just step out in faith when it doesn't make sense. That's audacity. When you think, this is what I'm supposed to do. This is what God wants me to do. I know it. It's a dream God's put in my heart, and I'm going to do it. And God honors that when we step out in faith. According to your faith, it will be done unto you. This last week, I showed a letter to my staff that was written 10 years ago. And it was a letter telling me from the publisher of Zondervan, by the head publisher there, the head editor, guy editing my book, that Purpose Driven Life was a terrible book and that it would never sell. And I sent him the original manuscript. And I got this letter, I preserved the letter. And he systematically goes through the book and says, these are all the things wrong why it won't sell. It's got 40 chapters. Nobody reads 40 chapters. It doesn't have enough stories in it. And I said, I'm not putting stories in it because I want it to be an international book and I don't want it to just be for Americans. He said, it's got too many scriptures in it. I said, I trust the scripture more than my words. And he had a whole list of things. It's choppy here and on and on and on. And I wrote him back and I had to say, you know what? I value your opinion. And I showed the staff the letter that I sent back to him. I value your opinion. But I believe this is the way I'm supposed to do it. And I believe I've been directed by God to do it. And if you don't want to do it this way, that's okay. I'll take the book back. I'll publish it myself. You don't have to publish it. We don't have a contract yet. And I basically held the line. They came back, oh, no, we want to publish it. Are they glad today? But sometimes you just have to go with a little bit of audacity, because God has told you Joseph had a dream. So let me ask you this question. Where do you need to be audacious? I'm not talking about arrogant. I mean audacious. Where do you need to believe God? Where do you need to trust God? Where do you need to step out in faith? Where do you need to think big? Where do you need to take initiative? Where do you need to show risks? Take risks. This is the first characteristic of Joseph. And you see it, if I had time to take you through his entire lifetime, where he makes one audacious decision after another in faith. And as a result, he got the promotion of a lifetime. Okay, that's number one. Number two, the second key to getting promoted is not audacity, it's likability. Likability. People have to like you if you're going to get promoted. People trust you if they like you. If they don't trust you, they're not. If they don't like you, they're not going to trust you. And by the way, I tell this to preachers and to teachers. If you want people to listen to you, first they got to like you. They're not going to listen unless they like you. If they like you, they'll listen. If they don't like you, it doesn't matter how good it is, they're not going to listen. So likability is the second quality for being promoted. Now, the Bible doesn't use the word likability. It uses the word favor. It also uses the word honor. And it says, if you do these things, you'll have the favor of God and men. If you do these things, you'll be favored by men. If you do these things, you'll be honored by men. You'll be respected by men. You'll be likable. On each of these six traits, I could have given you 50 or 60 verses out of the book of Proverbs, but the sermon would be 2 hours long. So I just kept it to Joseph. But this concept of likability is all through Scripture. Now, a lot of people think that likability is just a matter of personality. You're either a likable person or you're not. You're either born with it or you're not. Nothing could be further from the truth. Likability is not personality, it's character. It's choice. It's behavior. It's how you choose to relate to other people. Do you want to be liked by other people? Here's the big secret. Okay, I'm going to tell you the big secret. How do I be liked by other people? Here's the secret. Like them. That's it. If you like people, guess what? They're going to like you. If you don't like people, they're not going to like you. We like people who like us. It's not rocket science, folks. To be likable, you just have to like people. You have to genuinely enjoy them. That's not personality. That's character. It's a choice. It's choosing to be interested in others, choosing to not think about yourself, choosing to be interested in their lives, things like that. Here's the definition of likability. You might write this down. Possessing the attractive attitudes. Possessing the attractive attitudes, and those are choices, and the relational skills that cause others to want to work with me. That's likability. You have the certain attitudes and you have the certain skills that cause people to go, I want to work with that woman. I want to work with that guy. They're fun to work with. I enjoy being around them. They're likable. And if you are likable, then you have the attractional or attractive attitudes and the relational skills that cause people to go, I want to team up with that person. I want to hitch my wagon to that star. And those are important things. Now, here's a good example. Joseph in Genesis 39, verses 2 to 4. Joseph lived at the home of Potiphar, his Egyptian owner. Soon, Potiphar realized that the Lord was helping Joseph to be successful in whatever he did. Potiphar took a liking, circle that, took a liking to Joseph. He was likable. He took a liking to Joseph, and he made him his personal assistant. Now he takes a guy who starts off as a slave. He's probably he's probably cleaning toilets and taking out garbage and stuff like that. And Potiphar notices, this guy's good. He's really good. He's audacious, but he's good. And he's good, and he takes a liking to him, and so what's he do? He gets promoted. What's he get promoted to? His personal assistant. This is not a bodyguard. This is the guy who's running his household. He's his manager. He's his vice president. He's the guy in charge of everything. He's the COO of Potiphar, Inc. He took a liking to Joseph and made him his personal assistant. Now, he says, when we talked about likability means you got to have attractive attitudes. What are attractive attitudes? They're the attitudes that attract people to you. How about this one? Is humility attractive? Oh, yeah. Do you like being around egotist or humble people? Humble people, right? Yeah. So when a person is humble, then you like to be around them. How about cheerfulness? Would you rather be around somebody who's cheerful or a hag? No. You know, you don't want to be around somebody who's nagging you all the time and, you know, just negative, grumpy, grouchy. Do you wake up grouchy in the morning? No, I usually let him sleep. You know, that's the bottom line is we want to be around cheerful people. We want to be around optimistic people. We want to be around helpful people. We want to be around humble people. We want to be around empathetic people. When you tell, you say, you know, I'm not really feeling good today. They go, oh, that's too bad. That doesn't make any friends. Somebody goes, oh, I'm really sorry. You know, what's going on? And they're empathetic. Is empathetic an attractive attitude? Yes. And when you find somebody at work who's empathetic to your stress, when you're empathetic with your boss's stress, guess what? You're likable. Bosses like people who are empathetic to their stress, who understand, who look at it not from their viewpoint, but from somebody else's viewpoint. When you help somebody else succeed, then you're going to be likable. And when you're likable, you're going to go far. Those of you who are younger, two things I would give you as advice, just starting out in a career, in your job, in your vocation. One is, whatever job you get into, find as many mentors as you can. A young person in a business who has four mentors is almost unfireable, because those four mentors are going to stand up for you no matter, even if you really make a mess. So you get some defensive backs in there who are older than you, who will stand up for you, who will run and block and tackle for you. And if you get three or four mentors in a business, you're going to go far, because not only are they going to protect you from being fired, but they are going to likely help you get promoted because they see themselves in you. Another thing is, if you find somebody in the business who looks like they're going far, hitch your wagon to them. Hitch your wagon to a superstar, and you'll go along the ride with them. So you got to have likability. Joseph was liked. Number three, the third key to getting promoted is capacity. Not audacity, but capacity. Now, capacity is the amount of abilities that you've got, and if you're already using all of your abilities, you're not going to get promoted. If you're a four-cylinder person, that's all you've got the capacity for, and you got a four-cylinder job, you're not going to get promoted. But if you keep developing and you keep growing and you keep learning and learning and learning and sharpening your skills, then you become an eight-cylinder or 12-cylinder person, and you're still in a four-cylinder job, you're going to get promoted because you have more capacity. You got to show that you've got the capacity to do more. Let me give you a definition of this third quality. Capacity is my potential for growth. My potential for growth. What is your potential for growth? Or are you just going to be the same 10 years from today as you are right now? You going to read any books between now and the next 10 years? You going to take any seminars? You going to grow? You going to develop any skills? You going to learn any relationship skills? It is the potential for growth. It is the desire to keep learning. That's what capacity is. The desire to keep learning. Why? So I can increase in competence and so I can handle greater responsibility.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Rick will be back in just a moment to close out our time together, so please stay with us. If you missed anything, just go to PastorRick.com to listen online anytime or to sign up for Rick's free daily email devotional. How would you like to be able to take these great messages with you wherever you go? Well, Pastor Rick wants to make that happen for you. That's why he's asked us to offer you this four-message audio series called Doing Business with God. When you support this ministry with a financial gift, we'll send them to you on your choice of CD, USB flash drive, or downloadable MP3. You'll get everything you hear on the broadcast, as well as portions we didn't have time for. Go to PastorRick.com to get yours, or just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com with two R's in the middle, or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. And now, here's Pastor Rick with a closing thought.
If you've been blessed by this message today, here's what I want you to do. Share it. Tell somebody about it. Now, there's a lot of great ways you can share Daily Hope. One of the easiest is by posting it on social media, on Facebook or Twitter or LinkedIn or Instagram. By the way, I'm on all of these, and you can follow me on any of these. Let me know what you think of this broadcast. But you'll find a share button today next to the message on my website, PastorRick.com. Don't keep the good news to yourself. It's too good to keep to ourselves. We've got to pass it on to others. Thanks for listening today, and join me next time as we continue to look into God's Word for our daily hope.
This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.